Today is our first Sunday of 2019, and we're going to be looking at the book of James again in chapter 5. For many of you in this small group, if you're done with your material, we'll actually be going into the book of James this semester or this year. For different reasons, I'm going to be meandering in the book of James for a little bit. Once all the college students and other people are back, I'm going to start a series on how to strengthen the church, how we could come together as a church to strengthen this church. And then actually, if Lord opens the right doors, I'm actually going to be preaching in the book of Exodus sometime this year, looking at the life of Moses. But today we're going to be looking at this James chapter 5, verse 13 through 18. And the title of the message is Call to Prayer. Call to Prayer, as James gives us some hints about praying. And we really want to pray today that God will release these kind of call to prayer at our church as we go into 2019. Happy New Year, amen? All right. Verse 13 says, is anyone of you in trouble? Let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Elijah was a human being, even as we are. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Again, he prayed, and heavens gave rain, and earth produced its crop. Amen. Last week, you guys know that my mom actually was in the ER, so I'm just going to give you a brief report. As many of you are praying for my family, really appreciate it. Basically, she went to the ER and was in the hospital for 7-8 days, and then finally she was transferred. I can't even figure out what day today is, actually, because I've been basically going to the hospital like 8-9 hours a day just to see how she's doing. And also being a translator. And I think it was yesterday or the day before, she was transferred to a nursing rehab facility. And so she's in the next phase of rehabbing. I just really would appreciate your prayer because, you know, just looking at her physical condition, I know this is kind of a difficult or morbid way of saying it, but she's too healthy to, you know, to go home to be with the Lord. But then I think she's actually too sick to actually, you know, recover quickly. So she's kind of stuck in this middle place where it's going to be, I think, you know, humanly speaking, it's going to be a long journey for her. A basic prayer request is that she could walk again and actually be able to eat by herself and go to the bathroom by herself. If those three things happen, I think it will be a miracle. Even before this whole situation, she was really struggling in those areas. This might sound really poor, but I'm just really praying either God heals her or takes her home. And you know, I really believe God can bring healing into her life. So I'm going to talk a little bit more about my mom at the end, but we want to go into this passage of prayer that James ends with. If you go into the book of James in your small group, you'll realize that, you know, James is a very practical book. He really helps you to apply biblical Christianity into your life. Last week I talked to you about how he declared that we can find joy even in the midst of troubles and difficult time. And then he goes into, you know, declaring that there is wisdom that we can have in the Lord. And then he talks about how we need to be careful with our tongues, with our lips, how we say things. And so it's a very practical book. And it's interesting how when he ends this book in chapter 5, he ends with the most practical advice. At the same time, for many of us, this is not a practical advice. I think there's been many times in our life, maybe, you know, you go to a pastor and you share some difficulties in your life, and he just says, you know, let's pray about that. Or if you were single and you're like, oh, I like this guy or I like this girl, you know, what do you think? And then if you come and ask me, I will probably end that conversation with, let's pray about that. And I don't know about you, but when somebody says, let's pray about it, if you take it the wrong way without faith, without understanding what a gift and power prayer is, it just sounds like an excuse. Let's kind of pray about that. Let's pray about that. But what James says is, no, this is the most practical advice that I can give you as we close off a book that really helps you to become a doer of the word and not just a listener, or not just a hearer of the word. And he says, you really need to tap into this incredible gift of prayer. I just want to tell you, our church was founded on prayer. We really believe in the power of prayer. And I really believe that Jesus, who died for us, one of the incredible things he's done is that he gave us a way to the Father, to eternal life, but he gave us a way to the throne room of God. And that we have a privilege in Christ because he has cleansed us of our sins, that we can actually approach the Almighty God in the throne room. And I just want to just challenge us. We really need to go to the Lord and pray. And this church that's been based on prayer, we really need to elevate our prayer life. If we want to see revival, if we want to see people's life change, if we want to see miracles, there has to be people that pray. And, you know, I want to challenge you as I challenge myself. We're going to be going into some extended fasting and praying starting January, I think, 14th or somewhere a little bit earlier. I think next Monday we're going to start, not this Monday. When you read, we're going to fast and pray, I hope you don't just go like, oh, that's just for the staff. You know, staff prays. We fast and pray. I hope you really think as a congregation member what you're going to fast and how you're going to pray. As this stuff is happening with my mom, I realize, wow, I really need to really step up in prayer, not to perform before God or demand things from God. I really feel like God, as I read this passage and as I think about our church, is asking me, to really step up in prayer. Please pray for me. I'm probably going to do a lot more extensive fasting and prayer than the one that the staff is going to be part of, and really want to pray correctly. As I look at our church, and we really need a lot of prayer. There's some of you here, your spiritual life is not good. And, you love the world more than you love Jesus. You struggle right at that fence. And, I think we really need to pray for one another, that some of us have a great spiritual awakening. There's some of us that are exactly what James is talking about in times of trouble, and we really need to pray for one another so that we can go through the trouble. So as I declare this year, 2019, let's really ask the Lord that God will pour out a spirit of prayer into GCC. Amen? And please pray for me as I pray this week. It just happened that my wife actually is in China on a business trip. My youngest son, who's still at home, is on his own business trip to Florida. He won some competition, and he's there in Florida to hang out with other competition winners. So I'm home all alone, which is actually pretty awesome. This whole week, all I've been focusing on is my mom, and it's been hard, but it's actually been good to just focus on one thing, and see how she's doing. And so I have no wife, I have no kids right now. I'm a total, bachelor, empty nester. So I really want to actually start fasting and praying starting this week as I take care of my mom. So please pray that this fasting and prayer time, probably for the next 14 days, will be powerful and effective, as James will talk about. James chapter 5, James, introduces us, a call to prayer in verse 13. He says this: is any one of you in trouble? Let them pray. Is any one of you happy? Let them sing songs of praise. And in this verse, he is really calling his people, God's people, to prayer. And he bookmarks, this need of prayer with two bookmarks. And one is, man, your life could be full of trouble, and you really need to pray. Or your life could actually be full of a lot of happy results. And even there, he's saying, you need to sing, but basically saying, you need to sing songs of prayer. When you sing songs, These are not songs that we just sing so that the melody gets us or we like the word. These songs need to be incense rising. These songs, especially, you know, the joyful one, God is the highway, or, you know, how awesome is our God as we worship Him. It needs to be prayer. And James bookmarks our Christian life by these two places. He says, are you in trouble? You need to pray, you know. Or, you know, are you happy? You need to pray prayers of songs. And as he bookmarks, I really think he's saying you need to pray always, in all occasions. In fact, I think James chapter 5, verse 13 is basically a repeat of what Paul says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18, where Paul makes it really simple. And he says, pray always. You need to be a person of prayer always. And, you know, sometimes it really confuses me that we say we are believers, that we say we love Jesus, but we really don't spend time in prayer. I don't mean to make this to make you feel guilty, but we have one of the most powerful gifts of God because of what Jesus has done, to really go into the throne room of God and experience God, you know, in prayer. And there's so many of us, we live our lives so prayerlessly, you know, without really seeking the Lord in prayer, in the midst of trouble, and in the midst of good times. You know, are you in trouble? Is there something going wrong in your life? You need to pray. I look at 2018, it's really interesting for me how this passage comes alive. You know, there's been a lot of great things in 2018 that we just finished. I personally had an amazing revival, you know, and you know, I got a word from God. I felt like I was saying, I'm going to revive you to revive others. But I also had a nagging feeling that God was reviving, no such word, okay? God was revived, amen, all right? You know, God revived me because there was some trouble coming. And I'm really thankful. I feel like God didn't really revive me. I think, you know, I don't know. You know, there's so many different situations. I'm pretty close to my parents, and you know, this is not something where they're distanced from me. All of us are close to our parents. So there's all this trouble happening, and I see my mom at the border of, you know, possible death or difficult situation. But there's been, you know, great joy of my personal revival. As many of you in this room know, my son got into Harvard. Early decision, and so that's like that's happy in our family. Not because he just got into that school, but because we don't have to write more application. You know? We don't have to, like, I mean, just thinking about going visiting my mom, and then worrying or being concerned. I don't actually don't think about it at all. My wife does that part, you know, and wondering if he's gonna get the other application in. That would have been crazy, but, you know, that's awesome. You know, God did that. My daughter, 2018, graduated, and she got a job. And, hey, praise the Lord. She could have not had a job, right? Now she just needs a husband, amen? But, you know, she got a job, and, you know, all this stuff. And my other son, you know, he was struggling, actually, sophomore slump, and he went back to school, and I just seeing him seeking Jesus. There's a lot of joy in my life. You know, and I praise God and I thank God. And there is tremendous, especially going from 2018 to 2019, trouble. And I don't know about you, but for me, I'm so thankful that I can pray. Alright? I'm just so thankful that when I pray, God is there. I don't know what you do when you pray. Maybe you pray and it's like nothing happens, you feel like. Or you're praying to this air. That's not biblical. If you are a child of God, you have a red line. You know, a long time ago in Batman movies or stuff, there used to be a Commissioner Gordon used to press this red button. Someone would go, what are you talking about, okay? There was a direct line to Batman, all right? Now, you know, you don't need a guy. If you had a direct line, they could have followed the wire to the Batcave, if you think about that, all right? Anyway, okay, there's a direct line. And we have a direct line to God. And I just want to ask you need to go to God. I don't know what trouble you are, but instead of just worrying, stressing, sleepless night, instead of getting a hole in your stomach, God said, if you are in trouble, you can get on your knees and you can pray. I really want to challenge you. Whatever you're facing, you don't face alone. And the more you understand that, as James declares, is if you face it in prayer, then the presence of God comes and you know God is there. If you're happy, don't just skip happiness and go to your next happiness. I think that's a problem we have. We get happy, God provides, and the next thing you know, we want the next grade. We want the better school. We want the better job. And you know, we need to stop and we need to pray and celebrate God for each and every blessing that He gives. The more you grow the celebration and prayer of happiness, I think you appreciate God in this life more. So James says, hey, you know what? We need to pray in the times of trouble. We need to pray in the times of joy. We need to pray all across. And again, these are some things that I'm praying for. I don't know what you're praying for as you go into 2019. Number one, immediately, I am really praying for my mom because I just see that this is a huge situation that's gonna, you know, gonna be a really long journey, and I really want to do it well in the Lord. And maybe I can learn lessons that some of you have already experienced it, but many of you will go through it, and maybe I can be a guide when you guys hit that same spot with parents getting old. And that's a big thing I'm praying for. You know, I wake up in the morning and pray. Every night before I leave, I pray for my mom. Second thing I'm praying is, another big thing is, you know, it's just, I don't know why I linked it this way, but I'm praying for the salvation of my brother, my younger brother. He's not a believer. He's really far from the Lord. Nice guy, but sometimes the nice guys are the farthest from Jesus. And then you say, wow, but at least he's a super nice guy. But you know, it's slightly sad because, you know, my sister, she struggles in her faith, but she prays. And so at this point, you know, in our cacao talk, you know, at the end I say, you know, let's pray about it. But I know my brother can't pray because he doesn't believe. You know, he doesn't believe that there's anything out there. And I don't know, maybe, I don't know how you think about it, but I'm thinking like, wow, it must be miserable that you can't even pray when you know you got nothing. You know, I don't know. It's been a long time. I've felt like an unbeliever. But for me, I'm just so thankful that I can go to God. And, you know, I'm praying for the salvation of my brother. And I've been telling my mom, and, you know, I'm saying, you know, maybe God is keeping you alive. And this sounds so tough. Because He wants you to keep praying for your, you know, my brother, your son. It's funny because the nurse comes over and the doctor, you know, ordered a psychiatrist to talk to me because my mom keeps telling the doctor she wants to die. And then they're like, right, is she okay? And I go, yeah, she's been saying that for 5 years. She says that to anybody that comes near, like, I just want to die, I just want to die. I don't know if that's like abnormal that's happening, but I mean, right now it is a little more, you know, serious. You know, she is more depressed, but you know, that's what I'm praying for. Second, I'm really praying for the revival of this church. I think we can be a lot better than we are. There's so many of us here, and just so easily can get into living the American dream Christianity. And I'm going to tell you right now, you can go on your vacation, your kids could go to Harvard, you can live in a big house, it's all going to go away. There's going to be so many things that you think is worth it at the end. It's going to all go away. The only thing that will last forever is your relationship with Jesus Christ. And there's so many of us in this room. And I don't really want to sit here. You do not take it seriously. And I'm going to tell you, it's going to come to bite you a lot more than you think. You can't really feel it in the midst of accomplishing stuff or going on vacations or worrying about your kids. I'm not saying those things are wrong. But somewhere in that fog, if you don't know how to get on your knees and pray and find that intimacy with Jesus, Alright? I'm going to tell you, later on in your life, you're going to realize all that accomplishment is nothing. It's nothing. And I'm praying for this church that some of us will be revived. Get out of our funk. Because there's a lot of people in this room, you know what it means to be intimate with Jesus. You need to rekindle that. That is your responsibility. I can challenge you, and I want to encourage you. Please. Alright, but that's your responsibility. You're an adult. You're a child of God. You need to wake up. Because a lot of the stuff you're pursuing, you need to put it in the right priority. There's so many people that get lost pursuing so many other things than Jesus. One day, you will also be on a deathbed, and you will realize, man, I thank God for your relationship, my relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. Ooh, kind of morbid there. But I'm praying for you. In a couple of weeks I'll probably talk about it, but there are so many idols in this room. There's so many of us that have made good things of God into greater things and greater priorities. And we really need to break down those idols. If you're wondering, oh man, why is my spiritual life not as excited? Because you have idols in your life. We don't build idols with wood or clay, but we build it with careers and money and comfort and family. And I'm praying that some of these idols will break down. I'm praying that God will really raise up people who will be alive in Jesus. And in my mind, I believe that you come to this church because that's what you want. Alright, or else why would you be listening to me here? I'm like a grumpy old man, amen? And why would you come here? I mean, other than the worship is good, amen? I mean, are we going to just, what are we going to do? Play church? Or are we going to do Jesus? And I'm praying that Jesus will come back. Man, I want Jesus to come back. You know? It's crazy world, and I hope I'm not saying this just because I want to escape, but man, I just want it to finish, for it all to be done, because as we keep entering into the next years, into generation, I don't know what you feel, we better wake up, because there needs to be some spiritual discerning in your life, and in my life. And sometimes when I sit down and pray about the future and us, I feel like, Lord, it might be better if you just come back. And the Bible says people will go to where their itching ears want to hear. That is talking about us. Right? It's not about another church. It's not about some other friend. It's about us. We want to go where our ears are itched the right way, the type of Christianity that makes us get Jesus and everything else. I'm praying that God will wake us up, wake me up, you know, and in the times of trouble and in times of joy, God will take us into this prayer as James declares. And I really, let's pray for, you know, spirit of prayer to come into our church, because without it, nothing's going to happen. We need to call more prayer meetings. But prayer starts in your soul. It starts with you. It starts with you taking 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 1 hour, or even a day living in His presence. Let's really ask for that, because this is a gift that God has given. Second, in verse 14 and 15, James says, you know, you can actually tap into a prayer of healing. It says in verse 14, is any one of you sick? I'm sick. Please pray for me. Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make sick person well, and the Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. This is a powerful passage. James just point blank says, if someone is sick, you know, people, the elders, the leaders should come around them, and you know, they kind of play with this, the scholars, they say, well, bring the oil, and oil was like a medicine back then, kind of like aspirin or Advil or antibiotics, and that could be true, but look at verse 15. He says, you know, you start praying in faith, and sick people will get well. And then he actually says something more incredible. He says, they will be raised up. And there's a reference there to dead people being raised up. You know, some people being awakened. Then he says their sins will be forgiven. And the only way sins can be forgiven is people are repenting before the Lord. So he's saying, you know, is anyone of you sick spiritually? We're going to pray for them. Is your husband not doing well? Wife, you need to get on your knees. Is your wife not doing well? Husband, you need to get on your knees. Right? Is your children not doing well? You need to get on your knees. Is your dad not doing? You need to get on your knees. You need to pray, because the Bible says as we pray, God moves. And he can actually make sick people well. He can take people that are far away from God and bring them into forgiveness, because they will repent. He can heal you spiritually. He can raise people up. He can bring forgiveness in their life. And I don't know about you, at our church, here at Mainline, and as you see, there are a lot of sick people. We're all sick. Amen? If you're not, I'm going to cough on you, make you sick. Some of you are physically sick. We need to pray for healing. Some of us are emotionally sick. We need to pray for emotional healing, spiritual, psychological healing. Yes, I'm not against taking immunization shots, or even at this point, as I've dealt with a lot of different depression issues with people and other things, I believe the muscle of our brain can be damaged, just like our arms or our legs, just like we pull a hamstring where I broke my calf muscle, something in our brain could snap or other things. I think it's okay to actually use psychological medicine, but I think there is power to prayer we still have not tapped into. You know, I think there's way more power to prayer. That's why it's in the Bible. Why would God put it in the Bible if it's not going to happen? You know? Just feel hopeless. No, he says, if there's someone sick, you lay hands on them and you pray that they will be healed. They will rise up. Right? Now, how many times are you going to fail doing that? Many times. But you know, I've been in this hospital with my mom. And you know, this whole situation. And I know we have a lot of physicians here, and I thank God for physicians. We have nurses here, I thank God. But you know, let's admit it. We can't do much. We can do a lot. Sometimes it feels like. At another time, we can't do much. It's interesting, when they hear Parkinson's, all the doctors kind of push back, because they don't know what the heck that is, even though they kind of know some things. So they'll give me information. I go, I heard that in YouTube. And you know, because all the doctors are speaking in YouTube. And you know, again, I don't want to assault doctors here. You got a tough job. But if doctors don't want to pray, I don't think they're tapping into the most powerful thing that they have. I just want to encourage every doctor and nurse here, when you see someone sick, in your heart, or quietly, or even verbally, you lay hands and kind of pray for you. You know, actually, one thing good was my mom had like four neighbors, you know, four people went through the ER before, or the hospitalization before my mom left. I got to pray for each one of them, you know, and just pray. And one of them was totally disillusional, but I got to pray for them. And I just really want to ask you, let's pray that at our church, God will heal people. Yeah, I know sometimes when we think about that physically, I want physical healing. There has been happening in our church, but emotional, spiritual, even psychological, right? Healing happening, marriage being healed. Let's pray that God will release the healing power of Jesus Christ through prayer, because there is incredible power that we have not tapped into. And James ends this passage by, is anyone of you sick? It's okay to go to the doctor and do all this, but who's going to step up in faith and pray? So James says, if any of you sick, pray. Because the prayer of this righteous person will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. And if you sin, you can be forgiven, because they will come into repentance. There are people in our church that are living in sin. They need to repent. You need to repent. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14 says this, if any one of you are, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sins and heal their land. Let's ask God to heal this church. If we're really honest in this room, every one of us are sick. There's places we can be stronger and healthier. God, these passages are not condemning passages. Okay? These passages are hopeful passages that says, you're sick. You are sick. They look to one another and say, you are sick. Some of you want to say that actually to that person, right? You're sick. I'm not saying in a good way, you're sick. You know, you're sick at that. You're really awesome at that. No. You're sick. You could be stronger and healthier. How are you going to go there? James says, pray. Tap into the power of God. Then in verse 16, we've been looking at this verse many times in 2018. It says, therefore confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. Prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. And so he talks about, you know, the spirit of prayer. Pray in trouble, pray in good times, pray in all times. The power of prayer of healing that can come. And here, prayer of confession. I've been praying so much last year, and I see it slowly happening, but we got to keep on going. We need to pray. Tap into this prayer of confession where we live lives that has no secrets. Right. First of all, you have no secret in front of God. God knows your heart. Okay, we can code it in religiosity. We can code it in a great family. We can code it, wear the mask. Of everything is fine, but God knows what's going on. Right. So you have no secrets before God, and we need to stop hiding behind the rock like Adam and Eve, and come out and say, Lord God, I need your help. Okay, but this passage is also saying we need to not only be honest with God, but you need to have few people that are being honest with God, and you need to have people that are honest with one another. Right? You need to be able to confess, share even the deep secret sins with somebody who will be Jesus with skin on. I want to once again repeat, as I've shared many times, this fight, we're supposed to fight in Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit with God the Father, and God brought us into a church so that we can fight the good fight together. You need a partner in crime of holiness. All right? You need a partner who you can fight the good fight together. And it takes time, and you need to be vulnerable, and you need to be ready to create it. You need to be ready to be disappointed. All right? If you want this kind of prayer of confession, you should be ready to be disappointed with even one of your best friends. All right? But there is this power of the prayer of confession. He says, pray. He says, confess this to one another, and you may be healed. There is a power when two brothers get together and they share deeply about even their temptation, and they say, let's fight this fight together. And they pray for one another and encourage each other with the word of God. There is incredible power. At the same time, there is incredible power when you are a person who keeps a secret. The enemy, I've said this so many times, the enemy will make you go down the dungeon of secrecy, and he will use that against you. Sooner or later, what you think you can keep in the dark, it will affect everybody. Everybody. Okay? And we looked at it many times. Achan's in Joshua chapter 7. He thought when he stole and he took, not stole, he grabbed the articles of clothing and jewels and precious metal and he hid it under his tent. He thought, I am an island. You know, what I do, I only know, my wife doesn't even know, my kid don't know, my commander don't know, nobody knows. This is a secret, my little sweet secret that I'm going to keep by myself. What did it do? His whole family got destroyed. His wife, his children. The nation of Israel was halted by his sin. Okay? There's this thing that sometimes we think that as long as I keep it a secret, it affects all of us. Sooner or later, when it comes out, and your family, your life is being destroyed, our hearts will also be broken with you. And it starts with small little secrets that keeps going deeper and deeper. And James saying, you know what? You need this prayer of confession. You need to live life in a way where you're living for Christ, and you need to be vulnerable and be ready to bring brothers, experiment, fail, get disappointed, but find these partners of prayer that you can go deep and strong in. And if you don't have them, most likely you're probably not looking for them, or you're not being one. Because I really want to encourage you, there is someone God asked for you. It could be your wife if you're married. And I just want to tell you, you may think you don't need this, especially when you have little kids and you're growing and, you know, you're trying to figure out how to do life. You hit 50, you hit 40s, and some of you are already 40, you hit 50s, you're going to be so lonely. One day your kids are going to go, they're about to go, and you're like, they all grew up. And you know, your kids, I want to tell you, right now, they're really nice to you. They look like they're going to, you know, you say stuff like, oh, when you get married, you're going to live with mom. They, yes, I love daddy. No, they don't. Okay? I love my kids, and generally, my family's pretty real, but I can tell my kids, they don't like being with mom and dad. You know why? Because we're moms and dad, you guys are all control freaks. So you, even though you think you're giving them freedom, you don't give them freedom. Even the most loose parent, oh, they can do whatever you want. Yeah, really? They can't. And so kids, they love the parents, but they want to be free. So I'm going to tell you, when you hit 50s, if you don't have this kind of confession partners in your life, and maybe it's, you know, it's got to be in your marriage actually, but outside, I've seen so many 50-year-olds hitting their so lonely. In your family group, in your church, and with another friend, you need to find confession prayer partners. You need to develop it ASAP. Okay, because life is awesome, but it gets hard, and you need these people that you don't keep secrets, but you fight the good fight together. Amen? Pray in all occasions. This is the gift God has given us. Pray healing on one another, repentance happening at our church. Pray that God will bring this kind of confessional partners in this church, because it would break my heart. For some of us, I'm not joking, you hit 50, a lot of stuff opens up. And if it's messy down there, it's going to stink up. You can use Glad fragrance bag, put a lot of baby powder, but when there's garbage down there and it opens, it's going to stink. You need to work on it now. And don't cover it up with your success or your health. When there's secret and the enemy's starting to play with it, you need to confess that. Not just to Jesus, but to a community person that you're going to fight this good fight together. Lastly, James says, in verse 17 through 18, Elijah was a human being, even as we are. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain in the land for 3.5 years. Again, he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and earth produced its crop. For me, actually, what's weird is verse 17 and 18 is like, I joke around with my wife and my kids, and they kind of give me the rolling eyes, you know, which is like, I feel like God, I don't know about physical healing, I pray a lot for physical healing, and a few has happened, but man, something about weather in me, it's like, it's kind of weird. I have a lot more confidence. Like, if you're gonna get married and you need a prayer, you know, come over and maybe, you know, I don't know. Right? Some of it is because we have to pray over our mini Olympics because it's gonna rain all the time. The Lord, hold it back. And sometimes it rains, but we've always been able to have our mini Olympics. And so, but basically what James is ending with Elijah's example, he says a crazy thing. It was Elijah was just like us. And if you read the life of Elijah, he was a man of miracles. I mean, miracles after miracles. I mean, even, you know, there was miracles in the, you know, with Moses, but after Moses, Elijah is the next guy. That there's this incredible miracle. And he says, Elijah was just like us. And the reason he says it was just like us is he prayed. And we can pray. And the same power he had, the same God he had, we have. And then back then, can you imagine? Weather is just do or die on weather. Okay? You can have a bad winter, you can die. And he says, Elijah was able by God's grace and mercy to even hold back rain and bring rain. He said there is incredible power in prayer. We need to tap into what is ours. If we understood this power, if we understood the presence that of God that can come in prayer, and if we'd experience it, we would pray more. Right? Again, you have a prayerless life because you don't understand what incredible power you have. How you can really draw close to God. How your life and other people's life and missionaries' life could change through your prayer. It's like us trying to screw a screwdriver with our fingernails. I don't know why I thought that, right? That's hard. Have you had it like you're like trying to do it? You're like, oh my God, you have a power to read. And the batteries, and wouldn't you just, but you're like, God said, no, you got incredible power. What if it's true? What if it's true that when you get on your knees, you humble yourself, you repent, and you really understand that half the things you accomplish is because of the gift of God, God giving you the mind and the health and the power to do it, and it's all from God anyway. What if you understand that and you pray in those times and worship God and you also get on your knees? What if it's true that your prayers can actually move mountains, heaven and earth, sick people, missionaries that need help? What if it's true? What if this Bible is true? It's true, right? It's true. Why would you read it if it's not true? Why read it? Why think about it? If it's not true for you, do not take this in a long clip. If it's not true for you, don't read it. Don't pray. It's true for me. It's true for you. We have incredible power in Jesus Christ through this gift of prayer. Don't waste it by not tapping into it. There's so much there. So much. Especially if you're at our church. I know we need a revival, actually. But there's so much. So much more. Again, my mom's been sick since the 27th and of December, and it's been crazy. I've like looked at so many YouTubes. Like I realized I should have been looking at Parkinson's a lot more, and you know, and then the whole health system. Oh my gosh, Medicare, Medicaid. I didn't know half this stuff. I'm like, and then finally, you know, they're going too slow to transfer, and then when it is happening, I figured out these top six lists of where to send her possibly. And then she got in to this one place. I went and visited. I'm like, oh my gosh, I don't want to send my mom there. It's like basically sending her, you know, I felt like to death. I'm like, I can't take her in there. And it was just crazy. And I thank you for praying because at the end, long story short, she ended up at a rehab center 5 minutes from my house. And to tell you the story of how that happened, it's like there was one that I really wanted her to go to. And like at the last minute, they rejected me. They were interviewing me, and I think I said something wrong. You know, I don't know what I said. I think it's because I knew that this is going to take a month or more for her to get back. And so I think I kind of hinted at that. And they only wanted someone that would be there for 2 weeks, and they didn't want to get insurance. So they're like, first started positive. I thought, oh, yeah, I got this. And at the end, she said, sorry. And I was like, what? And then it ended up, you know, 5 minutes from my house, which is awesome because I'm going there all the time. And then, you know, when I got there, the apartment was kind of a little bit freaked out because the only bed that was there was a lockdown unit for Alzheimer's, you know, dementia people, where they can't come out. I'm like, I don't want my mom stuck there. But that was the only bed. And they're like, okay, that's the only way we can accept you. And then we'll try to, maybe this Tuesday, she can go to the rehab bed and all this stuff. But the thing is, when she was getting the report, my mom was hallucinating like crazy. So part of me is like, I can see why they would recommend that too, you know? I mean, she was in another world half the time. And so I'm like, okay, but you know, at least I got her in, and so let's go, and all the insurance thing. And I got there, and then I'm talking, and there's these nurses up there, and I see this nurse, and I'm like, man, that lady looks familiar. I don't know why. I feel like I saw her in high school, like one of the parents, not my high school, one of the parents. And I'm like, oh, and I asked her, like, hey, does your kids go to Stratham High School? She's like, oh yeah, I sent all three of my kids, and she was naming names. And then I'm like, oh, and then I text my daughter, I'm like, hey, do you know this? And oh, Laura. Oh, I go, oh, is Laura your daughter? She's like, oh yeah. And you know, first she said, oh, I know you, but she didn't know me. She just knew that I was an Asian. And you know, she acted like she knew me, but I'm like, yeah, I'm Sarah's dad and stuff. And you can tell, like, suddenly every, like, you know, things change, you know what I mean? When they kind of know you a little personally. And so you can tell she's like stepping up and stuff like that. And she's like, you know, she was actually saying, I look terrible. I'm like, I don't care if you look terrible, you know, and all this stuff. And I was just thinking, I don't know, maybe some of you will feel like this is a coincidence. I don't think it's a coincidence. I think it's because many of you prayed. I think God moves through the house of prayer. I don't know what's going to happen to my mom, but I want to experience the power of prayer as I see my mom go through this. I want to see you experience the power of prayer. If you haven't prayed in a while, ask God to give you 5 minutes of prayer. To me, 5 minutes, that's like taking a shower. I'm going to tell you, it's not that bad, not that hard to develop an hour or more of prayer, or even living in presence of prayer throughout your day. Spirit of prayer is in this church, even though it's very, very like weak right now. I really want you to tap into that as we go into 2019. Amen? Let's pray.